So hope y'all are ready for me to let you down. All right. if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open those up to Matthew 13. You heard me, Matthew 13. Just so you know, I start my sermon preparations on Tuesday mornings, and I fully intended us to start John chapter 9 this morning. John 9 begins with this awesome story about Jesus healing a man who was born blind. Jesus spits on the ground and he makes little mud patties and he rubs them on dude's eyes and he sees for the first time in his whole life. And we know this man was born blind because his parents get involved in the story. The bad guy Pharisees get involved in the story. One of the most well-known lines ever is in that story. So it was going to be easy preaching, y'all. But God said no. He said, we're not doing easy this week. So I want to tell you up front, we're going to talk about some hard things this morning, some heavy things. But they're things that I hope will help answer some of the questions as to why our world looks the way it does now and why it's divided the way it is. Now, I know we hear all the time that we're all really not that different, that it's the politicians and it's the media who are trying to divide us. And that last part is probably true. It is a lot easier for a corrupt politician and a captured media to hide their shenanigans if we're all busy fighting with each other. But y'all, we are not all alike and we are not all the same. This separation that's been happening, this separation that's forcing us to see the obvious moral and ethical differences in people is intentional and it's necessary. But it is not man-made. This plan is a plan that was set in motion a really long time ago in response to choices that were made a really long time ago. And we're going to look at the choices that made this plan necessary a little later, but for now, let's go Matthew 13, verse 24, and we can see why this separation is intentional. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now if we jump down to verse 36, Jesus tells us what this parable means. I love it when he does that. Verse 36, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Okay, so sons of the kingdom and sons of the evil one. We talked about that last week. Remember, followers of Jesus are God's children. Enemies of God belong to the devil. They're his children. And both families are actively growing all over the world. Now, the problem we had for so long was what Jesus said in verse 30. He said, "Let both the wheat and the weeds grow together until the harvest." So for thousands and thousands of years now, millions of lifetimes, the wheat and the weeds have been growing together. They've looked like us even though they are not us. And maybe we couldn't see the difference, but Jesus always could. And he let the integration happen. He allowed all of us to grow together in this field because it was not yet time for the harvest. The plan was still unfolding. The seed was still being cast. More people were coming to faith. More importantly, more nations were coming to faith. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations of the world, and then the end will come. So since his resurrection, really since Pentecost, when the church was born and the messengers were sent out, this gospel has gone out. It has gone out to the nations of the world. The good seed was being scattered in the field. The wheat has been growing everywhere. It has been maturing. It has been getting ready for the great harvest. But so have the weeds. You know, I'm old enough to remember a time when it was a lot harder to tell the wheat from the weed. Lost people and saved people were so much harder to tell apart than they are now. Back then, even if someone did not share your faith, or they didn't agree with you allowing your faith to shape your opinions on politics or culture, they weren't hostile towards you. They might look at you as being silly or naive for believing those old, old stories, but they didn't want to kill you for it. They didn't think you should lose your job because of it. But today, because the separation is accelerating and the gap between us is getting so much wider, the children of the devil look a lot more like weeds than they used to. Now we notice them standing among the children of God on college campuses and on rail cars, and it terrifies us. It terrifies us because for the longest time, we did not know they were there. Even if we did, we thought they were contained somewhere else. We thought they were isolated to other parts of the world, like Eastern Europe in the 20th century, where over 12 million Christians were killed in the great communist wars. That's twice the number of Jews that were killed in the Holocaust, by the way. But that stuff happens over there, right? It doesn't happen here. Those are extreme examples of violence and tyranny and hatred, but they're random isolated events, right? Maybe. Or maybe the weeds have been reaching maturity, doing their best to choke out the wheat because they suspect the harvest is coming. Did y'all know that there were more human beings killed? People made in God's image, more of them were killed between 1900 and 1999 than in all the previous years of recorded history combined. Did y'all know that? Did you also know that in that same period of time, more human beings were born than in all previous years of recorded history combined? So what is that? That's verse 30. The weeds and the wheat growing together in anticipation of the harvest. I really believe that now, y'all. I really do. I also believe that Jesus is getting ready to tell the reapers that it's time to start gathering the weeds. And maybe the reapers aren't quite sure where all the weeds are because it's still not always obvious, is it? And so maybe this exposure of evil, this unmasking of darkness is how the reapers know where they need to start gathering. I don't know. I don't know, y'all. What I do know is that Jesus knows. Because this is intentional. Because the gathering completes the separation so that the righteous can shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You see, this isn't about them. This is about you. This is about you. If this was about them, the reapers would have been unleashed a long time ago. In verse 28, the divine children of God, they see what's happening. They know who did this, and they ask Jesus for permission to go and get those weeds out of his field, to get them away from God's human children, because the wheat and the weeds are not the same. They are not just alike. But Jesus says no. He says no. If I let you do that, you're going to end up taking out some of the children in the process. And I want the children there. I want the children in the field. I want them in my world, scattering gospel seed, planting gospel churches, living gospel lives, worshiping, serving, and growing my kingdom. But when it's time for the harvest, the weeds will be taken out and the wheat will remain. Y'all, that is exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8 last week. Remember? It's the exact same thing. He said the slaves have to leave, but the children will remain. Y'all, the slaves and the weeds, the children of the devil, they're here because they've always been here. And they're being prepared for the reapers. They will be gathered first, and they will be bound in sheaves to be burned. In other words, they will be removed from among God's children. They will be bound with prisoners' chains, and they will suffer the fiery, eternal punishment of hell. Because they are whom hell was built for a really long time ago. You know, I never thought about this until this week. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. I'm going to read those. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay, verse 25 is a verse that consistent church folks use to show inconsistent church folks that they should be in church, right? It's the go-to verse. We use it here in our new members orientation too for that reason. And y'all, that is totally there, okay? 100%. That is totally true. But why is it there? Why is it there? Because our souls need corporate worship? Because we will never grow the way Jesus wants us to grow or become the mature wheat that Jesus wants us to become without corporate worship? Is that why it's there? Yes and amen. Absolutely. But as we see the day drawing near, in other words, as harvest is getting closer, we're going to need each other. We're really going to need each other. We're going to need our brothers and sisters to stir us up to love and good works. Because when we see the weeds start doing what weeds do, most of us ain't going to be thinking about love and good works. Right? Some of us are going to be thinking about justice and retribution. Some of us still are. It's why we need each other. It's why we need encouragement. It's why we need our brothers and sisters gathered around us, lifting us up, teaching us truth, reminding us of who we are and who we belong to, and how when the day does get here, and it will, the weeds will be gathered into sheaves for the fire, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Y'all, the separation is happening because the separation is intentional, because the separation is necessary. It's necessary. So why is it necessary? Great question. That's where I was going. It's necessary because of choices that were made in the days of Noah. In Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus said this. He said, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware. Until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So what was happening in the days of Noah? Folks were eating and drinking, getting married. In other words, they were just living their lives. They had jobs, they had families, things they liked to do on the weekends, right? But something else was happening in the days of Noah also. We read about it in Genesis 6, verse 5. It says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." But I thought Jesus said they were all living their best life. Yeah, they were. They were both happening at the same time, because the wheat and the weeds have been growing together. But what was different about the days of Noah was there wasn't any separation. Great wickedness and evil intentions were living right alongside. They were interconnected with eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Everyone really was just alike. They really were all the same. And what was God's response to that? He killed them all. He killed them all. All except Noah, Noah's wife, their sons, and their daughters-in-law. God even wiped out the animals because of them, because of the choices they made. And I'm not here to get into a, is it a worldwide flood? Was it a regional? That's not the point. My point is that judgment without separation will destroy the innocent along with the wicked. I'm going to be honest with y'all. That cross has never been more real to me than it has come this week. Judgment without separation will destroy the innocent along with the wicked. In other words, no. Lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. The separation is happening because it has to. We see it accelerating because the harvest is near. I really believe that. Today, people are eating and drinking and getting married. Today, wickedness is great. Would you agree? People's intentions are evil. Their actions are hateful. Their words are poison, and they are unaware of the judgment that is coming in these days of Noah. You go back to Matthew 24, you look at verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. What is that? That's separation. I said the separation is necessary because of choices that were made. Another choice that was made, which made all this necessary, was God's choice to never again send a sweeping judgment that destroys everything. That's in Genesis 8. And in Genesis 9, God blesses Noah and his family. He establishes an everlasting covenant with him. Everlasting means it does not end. He establishes this covenant with him and with all living creatures, right? The entire created order. And what is the sign of that covenant? Rainbow. So the weeds have even co-opted the symbols that belong to the wheat. They do this to blur distinction, to cause confusion. It's like we've said so many times, what God creates, Satan what? Counterfeits. One reason he counterfeits, I think, is to try and slow the separation so he can delay the harvest. So if we're seeing the separation speed up and we're noticing the weeds standing among the wheat, I can only take that to mean that the harvest is coming. I don't know how else to look at that. I'm open to being wrong. I don't know how else to look at that. But God, our God, who always keeps his promises, will not allow the destruction of the righteous along with the wicked. They will shine like the sun in his kingdom. But the wicked will be judged with eternal fire. So like Jesus said in verse 44, be ready, Christian. Be ready. Because the Son of Man is coming. He's coming at a time we do not expect. Y'all pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, which is always on time. It always speaks to life as we see it and understand it. Things that we recognize but not sure what they are, your word gives us clarity a lot of times. We thank you for that, God. I thank you that your word can be a little scary. It can cause us to pause, to think, to pray, to seek your wisdom in your word. And I believe that's where the wisdom is. Lord, I pray that a couple things. I pray that as we see the separation accelerating, as we see the gap widening, we would be aware, but we would not be afraid. Because we know how this ends. And God, I pray that we would have the moral courage to live our lives the way Jesus has told us to not shrink back, to not be reckless and stupid, but to not shrink back either, to stand firm, because our God stands firm. I pray that we would all be brave enough to live a life of boldness and obedience, that we would share the gospel message with people around us who are far from you, Jesus, because there is all... you are their only hope. How can we have the message that saves souls and keep it to ourselves? How unloving is that? Lord, as the world, it can burn around us, Lord. You will never go anywhere. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You are always on your throne. Nothing happens that surprises you. Jesus, you are our firm foundation. You are also our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. And I pray, God, that we would learn to lean onto you and hold on to you more than we ever have before as we see the day approaching. God, I thank you for these sweet folks who are here. I pray that you would cover them. I pray that you would cover their families, that you would protect them, that you would hold them close to you, God, and squeeze them tight. I pray that every one of them will feel your presence and know that you are near. It would bring them comfort, but would also give them boldness. Boldness to tell Jesus' story. Boldness to live a life that pleases you, to make choices that please you. Not easy choices, not convenient choices, obedient and righteous choices, God. Because just like the separation was started long, long ago because of choices, we have choices today. We can follow Jesus into the fight or we can shrink back. And God, I pray that no one in this room will ever shrink back. Moving forward, we would go forward with your word, your message, your love, your grace, your truth, God. Please accept this last song as an offering of worship. I pray it would roll up into praise to you, our great and mighty God. It's in your good name we pray together. Amen. Oh my.